Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great day so far. Let's say hello to John McClain down in Houston, who joins us now. John, hope you had a good Christmas. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I couldn't be happier. The things I do best is the best time of year. Watch football and eat, and also our documentary is going to come out on January 30th, and we're doing a premiere here at the Regal Theater, and Regal is based in Nashville. So we're dealing with the people there, people here. We can't wait. I'm going to tell you guys next week what our website is, where you can go and click on it and get some previews. I am very, very excited. After 15 months working on this about high school football in Texas before integration.
Going to be fun. I can't wait for that. And as much as we love high school football, we will be all over that.
You guys will love it. It's powerful. It's fascinating. It's sad. Some of it makes you sick because of what the all-black preview interscholastic league organization, the players went through until Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act that basically got the all-white university interscholastic league to absorb it. And we've got people like Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Levias, Johnny Rowland. We've got a whole array of players or coaches who were involved in our story. But I know that's not why you called. What can I do for you?
Well, John, I think this might be the first time that I have ever inferred this, but are the Houston Texans cheering for the Tennessee Titans coming up this weekend?
I tweeted yesterday, Hannah McNair, whose husband Cal owns the Texans, and she plays a prominent role in decision here, is actually going to be cheering for Amy Adams Strunk. And those two have quite the rivalry. And everybody in Houston is becoming fans this week of the former Oilers because they need them to pull off a monumental upset of the Jaguars, which isn't likely, of course. So Jacksonville should win the division. Texans should beat the Colts to be 12-5, which would tie the most victories in franchise history, but it would leave the Texans as the top wild card, and it's the first time in the Texans' history that they've been a wild card. They've won 8 division titles to go to the playoffs, and I tell people here they should be pulling for the Steelers because they went to Baltimore where they'd never won, and they won this year 44-10. But Lamar Jackson was out, as well as 5 key defensive starters. 4 of those are back, and I'm guessing Lamar Jackson will be back, and the Texans have never beaten Lamar. So they better be big Packer fans when they play Baltimore trying to win the AFC North.
I look at the AFC playoffs, too, and I mean, you can say this about the NFC as well, but with no Kansas City, I think it's intriguing. Now, does the majority of the NFL audience feel that way? We'll find out. My guess is they will, but you got Denver, and you know, they haven't been there in a while. New England's back with Vrabel. You got the Jags. You got the Texans. Nobody thought two teams were going to come out of the AFC South, but here we are. And then the Chargers and the Bills looking like they're the 7th seed. And then who knows what happens between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think these playoffs are going to be fun just because you might have some new blood.
I'm so glad the Chiefs are not in their chase. It's just, I used to be tired of the Patriots every year, and I was tired of the Chiefs. But now, Denver's defense has not been playing well. New England has beaten one team that currently has a winning record. That was Buffalo. Buffalo just stunk it up and lost a game it very easily could have won. Baltimore decided, after John Harbaugh was brain dead the week before and didn't have Derrick Henry touch the ball in the fourth quarter, made sure he got a record number 36 carries to go with 216 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think we know what their formula will be, but I think the AFC's wide open. I do not see the Texans with their offense. They got a Super Bowl defense, Super Bowl special teams, but their offense is just too inconsistent. There's no way they're going to win three road games, even though they've won eight games in a row, and they just beat the Chargers on the road. And they've won some tough road games, but I don't see them. And boy, after watching Buffalo in that game, I was going to say, okay, the Bills. Right now, I'm not so sure Jacksonville's not the best team.
Clearly,
the NFC is superior to the AFC based on what that San Francisco-Seattle game. You talk about a great way for Sam Darnold to prove himself. And 49ers defense has given up a lot of points. But they're at home, and if they win the Super Bowl at home, they will have played their last five games at Levi's Stadium. And right now, I am not picking against the 49ers.
You know how much – you've covered this league a long time. You know how much experience can matter this time of year in the playoffs. And you look on the AFC side, and there's not a lot – I mean, the Bills. I mean, maybe Baltimore, if Baltimore gets there. But I look at the Eagles – as up and down as they've been this year, and they didn't deserve to win that game yesterday, but they did. They might be the team, just based on experience, that could wiggle their way out of a really tough NFC.
I couldn't believe they won that game yesterday. I complain about the Texans' offense. When the Texans score 20 points, they're 10-0. I mean, they've won all 10 games have been if they score at least 20. Because they generally don't score many points. It's almost like they play for field goals, knowing that their defense is going to come through for them, and that's scary. But right now, watching what the Eagles did offensively with the weapons that they have, that's terrible. Now, Lane Johnson's supposed to come back, and I saw an unbelievable stat for right tackle. When he's played, they're like 30 or 40 games over 500, and when he doesn't, they're under 500. And I wonder if they've been playing possum all this time and now they're going to get interesting. But I don't see them. They're not as well-rounded as Seattle, Los Angeles, or San Francisco. But they do play great defense. But, man, oh, man, Saquon Barkley has not come close to what he did. Jalen Hurts plays in spurts. And I don't see them being better than the fourth team in the NFC, but man, it's going to be wild watching those teams beat up on each other.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, I asked this question earlier. We had Terry McCormick on. If Jacksonville cannot sell out that stadium on Sunday with what's at stake, can the passion ever make it in that city? Because you got a great football team, going to win the AFC South. Nobody predicted this. They're fun to watch. It's a great football team. If that stadium's not sold out, is it ever going to be passionate about Jacksonville and that city and that football team?
I remember covering the 1999 AFC Championship game when the Titans beat them for the second time there, and Jeff Fisher called it their home away from home. And that was about as passionate as I've seen the Jacksonville fans. Now, when Tom Coughlin came back in 17, they were really good. But the fans have been let down so many times. Remember the last time they were in the playoffs, they were down to the Chargers, should have lost. They came back and won a great game. You would think that would stir the fan base, but it didn't. And then they come back and get off to a really hot start, just the way the Colts did this year, and then they went down the toilet. And I can't imagine it being a division game to win a division and in which your team is playing great since they lost that unbelievable Texans comeback with Davis Mills at quarterback. And what else is there to do there? It's not like they're competing with hockey or the NBA or baseball. And I just can't imagine. They're a fun team to watch. Liam Cohen is a fun team, a coach to watch. I just can't imagine there's anything better in Jacksonville than getting fired up about the Jaguars and their chance to go to their first Super Bowl.
Absolutely. John, is Liam Cohen, I mean, is he? I think he's coach of the year material. But it's because he's in Jacksonville, does he get overlooked by like a Vrabel or maybe a Mike McDonald in Seattle? But I think he's legit, has a chance to be coach of the year.
There's a lot of candidates. I've never seen it this balanced. If I had to pick, I'd pick Kyle Shanahan. They were terrible last year. They had players they let go, retired, and they had to for cap purposes. Then they've lost their two best defensive players for the season, and they lost Purdy for like six games, and Shanahan has done a great job. Mike McDaniel's done a great job, but he won 10 games last year. And the Jaguars and the Bears, and the problem I have with the Patriots, yes, Vrabel's done a great job. They play the schedule that you're dealt, play the hand you're dealt, but they've only beaten one team with a winning record. So give me a team from the toughest division, the NFC West, and in the toughest conference, the NFC. But boy, Cohen, Johnson, Vrabel, Shanahan, and McDonald, and even D'Amico Ryans, he never gets any love because they've been in the playoffs every year, but they started 0-3. We all wrote them off. Stroud got a concussion. They had to play Davis Mills. And the last time they lost, November 2nd, when Stroud went out in the first half with a concussion and lost on a field goal with no time left, that was November 2nd. And D'Amico Ryans has done a great job.
John, are we seeing a star in the making in Caleb Williams? Because he was on fire last night. He was great last week versus the Packers. It's just fun. After everybody said, oh, he's not going to get it done because he paints his fingernails and he's aloof and doesn't talk to his teammates. But my goodness, John, watching him this season, he's something else.
He's fun to watch, and he's at his best when he's off schedule. That's like in a situation like they were in last night, desperation. He does make plays. Now, I give a lot of credit to the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, Robert Saleh, on that last play with 4 seconds left. He had guys rushing him. He didn't want to give him a free throw, and he had to make that last pass with a guy in his face, and it bounced to the receiver. Well, what a game. No telling. With weapons, he has so many weapons around him, and he didn't have Roma Dunze, one of his best receivers, and they got multiple talent and skill positions. I think the Bears are Super Bowl. I don't think a Super Bowl contender this year, considering how strong the NFC is, but definitely next year.
By the way, John, before we go to the break, I joked with my friend of next week against the Steelers, the Ravens will give it to Derrick Henry 41 times. He'll have 302 yards and 6 touchdowns based on what they did last week.
Well, that's what they should do based on how they screwed it up the week before. How in the world do you not get Derrick Henry touching the ball in the fourth quarter of a big game with the playoffs on the line?
I agree with you. We'll have more with John coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. What do you think we're going to see next Monday, which is, I guess, rightfully or wrongfully known as Black Monday in the NFL, when there are going to be some more jobs opening up besides the two that are already open?
They do call it Black Monday, but most of them get fired Sunday after the game. And so what I'm curious is Kevin Stefanski, a two-time coach of the year, who did not make the decision to sign Deshaun Watson to that $230 million contract. I tweeted during the Cleveland game that their Browns general manager, Andrew Berry, should get consideration for executive of the year for what he's done to help the Texans rebuild and because of the Deshaun Watson trade, and which it's a gift that keeps on giving. And so I'm eager to see, do they fire Stefanski? If they do, he's like Vrabel. He'll get a job whenever he wants it, whether it's next season or the season after. There's a couple others. Jonathan Gannon, Arizona, assume he's gone. Pete Carroll after one disastrous year and the worst case of tanking I've ever seen. I can't believe the NFL will let the Raiders get away with what they're doing. They ought, even if they let them have the first overall pick, so they can get Fernando Mendoza. They need to take another pick away from them. Find them. You know, it doesn't hurt owners these days, but you can't just look the other way. Will Mike McDaniel get another year in Miami? You know, they just beat Tampa with Quinn Ewers playing quarterback. So there's a lot that have done a really bad job, but then there's some that are borderline, and we're all wondering, will he keep the job? If Buffalo, say Buffalo loses in the first round,
mm-hmm.
will they get tired of McDermott? McDermott's been there a long time, and they haven't gone to Super Bowl, and this was supposed to be the year. And they get beat out by a first-year coach, Mike Vrabel, and a second-year quarterback with a team that had so many newcomers in free agency and draft, of course, and yet they have been so much better than the Bills have been. So McDermott's another coach. If he got fired, you know, Green Bay's struggling now. Jordan Love's out, but there's Mike, you know, Matt LaFleur, his contract's up next year. He and the general manager, Brian Kunikas, their contracts are up. I'm guessing after the season they'll announce them with like 3 or 4 year extensions. But boy, if LaFleur, you know, who was there in Nashville, if Matt were out there, my goodness, they would line up. I think this is going to be the most interesting time that I can remember for head coaches getting fired.
I will guarantee this. I don't say this a lot. I will guarantee this. If LaFleur was out in Green Bay, he is the next coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Well, there's
been and that'll come from
war.
Her.
That'd be a bidding war for Matt LaFleur because he's so highly thought of. And the Packers are not stupid, although they have a new team president, Ed Policy, Carmen Policy's son. So you never know till you see moves a new guy makes. What I'm really interested in, we talked about this on one of my shows here this week, is about the Titans. I said Brinker has an association with Mike McCarthy, who won 12 games 3 times with the Cowboys and did a really good job developing Dak Prescott, a fourth-round pick. And Matt Nagy's name keeps getting thrown out there because Bagonzi has a relationship with him at Kansas City. And I'm wondering, what would you guys think about them? And what would you, even though it's not his fault, the Steelers' offense is really struggling. DK Metcalf's an idiot. You can't do what he did, no matter what the person says. In Washington, their tight ends got out with a broken leg. They've had all kinds of injuries. I think I just saw where Aaron Rodgers completed 8 passes yesterday to wide receivers. And so what would y'all think of Mike McCarthy, if it was Matt Nagy who went to the playoffs with the Bears, or a guy like Arthur Smith coming back to home from the Steelers, or is there a coordinator out there like Clint Kubiak, who I think would do a great job with Cam Ward in that offense? What do y'all think?
I think it's Matt Nagy. I think he has, because I think it's a relationship, John. You know how important relationships are. He's a new GM.
Oh, yeah.
You bring in somebody that you know well, you work with it, that you can be honest with, open up with, and I think Matt Nagy's that guy.
I'm with Joe on that. I think McCarthy is definitely in play. But I don't know. And it'll be curious to see if it is Nagy, does that mean that Bergonzi now has more say when it comes to Amy, and she's listening to him more than Brinker? I don't know, but I definitely think it's one of those two. I think Art is potential, but his stock in my mind has dropped a little bit. What I find to be interesting is, you know, when I talk to people everywhere but Chicago, Matt Nagy gets a lot of praise. Chicago, not so much, but everywhere else, it's like Matt Nagy would be a home run hire for the Titans.
Well, Nagy is pronounced N-E-E-G-Y. Nagy is, people forget how good of a job he did with Trubisky. And now he's back with Andy Reid, who's his mentor. And the thing is about Brinker and Bagonzi, they got to be on the same page. When they go to Amy, they say, okay, this is who we want to hire. And she'll sign off on it. What you don't want is one saying, well, I want Mike McCarthy. He's this, this, this. And the other one saying, I want Matt Nagy. He's this, this, this. They have to be on the same page. And if I'm them, I'm going with who the GM wants, because he's a GM for a reason.
Oh, absolutely. John McClain along with the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, as we look back at the 25 season, what team disappointed you this year you thought could do so? I mean, the Lions come to mind. I mean, they're still 8-8, and they've had a tough schedule, but I just thought they something more for them. Is there a team that stands out that you're kind of disappointed in?
Joe, since the Lions and Bills were my Super Bowl picks and the Bills to win, and the Lions were 15-2 last year, and I thought, boy, they're going to be better. Hutchinson is coming back, and Aiden Hutchinson is a premier pass rusher, and then they fall back the way they have. I think the most – I'd like to say it's the Cowboys, but I can't because I didn't have high expectations
right
for them. But my Super Bowl pick isn't even making the playoffs, so I would have to say the Lions.
I'm with you on that. I love your knowledge of the NFL and history and everything. And I think the most frustrating football team, if I'm a fan, John, the Minnesota Vikings throughout history. I mean, they go to the 4 Super Bowls. They've got the talent. They had Randy Moss. They had that team in 98 that almost went to the Super Bowl. They always seem to be there, but they're never there, if that makes sense.
Well, that division last year was so tough. Now, they captured lightning in a bottle with Sam Darnold. And then they decided to go with J.J. McCarthy, and he has been injured too much. And everybody says Kevin O'Connell is a great coach, and I believe that he is. But, boy, if you let Darnold get away, Darnold becomes the first quarterback in history to win 12 games with two different teams in back-to-back years, and he's playing great. And if they win the last game on Saturday night, then they're going to have home field advantage so we can see Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. And I don't think we're going to be seeing McCarthy close to the Super Bowl anytime soon. So they deserve everything they've gotten. They had Daniel Jones. They had Sam Darnold. And they went with their number one pick who missed his first year with a knee injury.
John, appreciate it as always. Have a happy new year, and we will talk to you next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you guys very much as always, and happy new year to you and all your listeners.
Absolutely. He's John McClain down in Houston, joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll come back with more live at Circus Sports in Kentucky. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday at Circus Sports in Kentucky. It's interesting to me that, like, I know why, mainly because he's 11-41 as a head coach, but I just feel like Steve Spagnuolo, like certain people will bring
Stop
him up,
it.
will bring him up as a potential candidate, and then I look at 11-41 and go, that's why he's not.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a really good coordinator.
Some people aren't made out to be a head coach. I mean, that's the thing. Some people are really good coordinators. Some people are really good defensive and offensive coordinators and aren't good head coaches. There's a lot of those that do that. So I think he's really good defensive coordinator, not a good head coach. And your record is what your record is. And then you could say, well, I didn't have this or that. Well, I mean, still, I mean, you're 11-41, all
yeah.
that. That's always the tired argument. I always hate this argument about Joe Montana. Well, Joe Montana wouldn't be half as good if he didn't have Jerry Rice.
Okay, well, but he did have Jerry Rice.
Thank you. Right?
So does Steve Young.
Right. So it's not his fault that he had Jerry Rice
so
there
did,
on and on.
Did Garcia have him for a minute?
For a minute, yes. But I'm just saying, great players in general that look up. I mean, my guy Marino had Duperne Clayton, never had a really strong, great receiver, and didn't have a running game. So you can't blame the guys for that. But you look at your record, so Spagnuolo, 11-41, they just weren't very good. But just don't make this search complicated.
Yeah.
Don't make it – you know the candidates that are out there. Don't go coordinators again who've never called a play. We've seen this disaster. Don't do that. Find a head coach who's ran a franchise. You got Art Smith. You got Matt Nagy or whatever John tried to tell us how you say it. Matt Nagy. And then you got I like Robert Saleh. Then Mike McCarthy's out there. I mean, these guys are good. They know the franchise. They know the league. I'm saying they're great head coaches, but they've been through the fire. So get those guys. Don't make it tough. But they'll probably go out and hire – Chris Shula, because his granddad was Don Shula.
let's see. So this is what Steve Young had, or not Steve, Jerry Rice had. He mainly had Steve Young, and then the last 2 years with San Francisco, he had Steve Stenstrom for 3 games, Young for 3 games, and Jeff Garcia for 10 games. And then in 99 or 2000, his final year in San Francisco, he had Jeff Garcia for all 16 games. Who's his quarterback with the Raiders? Was that
Jeff George, maybe?
So let's see, 2001.
Maybe? Or Rich Gannon.
It was Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon.
Yep. He had Rich Gannon for 16 games in 2001.
So I think he played in the Super Bowl versus the Buccaneers.
He did, because 2002 was Rich Gannon. 2003 was Rich Gannon, Rick Meyer. Marquise Tui Sissoko started
You can pronounce that, but you can't pronounce Rick Meyer. Good Lord.
And then in 2004, as last year in Seattle, he is quarterback. He had two.
Who are they?
One is a friend of the show, and one is your mortal enemy.
Okay. My mortal enemy, gosh. That's a great question one day. This who you just despise.
You cheered loudly when this guy got fired.
Oh, Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer for
can't
two
stand Dilfer.
For two games, and then Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, okay. All right. Not bad.
That's a pretty impressive group.
But, you know, I've got a problem with Seattle. I've told you this throughout the years. They claim Hall of Famers who only spent a small time. They claim them. They claim Warren Moon.
Well, so does every other team.
Not like this. I mean, it's like in their media, it's like prominent. They claim Jerry Rice. So Moon, Rice. They claim Franco Harris, which drove me batty.
Yeah.
He spent 1 year there. And then John Randall. They claim him as a Hall of Famer. Like
I mean, the Titans Oilers claim Andre Johnson and
shouldn't. It's where you had the majority of your success.
Right, but if you go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website, it lists every team they played for.
That's fine. But just don't, you know, the Oilers should not make it over the top that Andre Johnson's. When I think of Andre Johnson, I don't think of the Tennessee Titans. I think of a dude who quit halfway through the 2016 season. Right? And that's the same with Kevin Mawai. And though he spent 4 seasons here, to me, Mawai, Seahawks, Jets, Titans, I still think of him as a Jet. That's right, his best and most success was there. But Seattle's got to stop that, man. We talked to Tim Hasselbeck again. I'll have Tim call up there and make a few changes to that to what they talk about for all their Hall of Famers up there.
I'm sure that
they'll listen, right?
All right, so for now I'm curious to something. The Tennessee Titans.
Like Bruce Matthews is probably the last Hall of Fame guy.
These are the Hall of Famers listed for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, boy.
There are five.
Okay.
There are only five.
All right.
Bruce Matthews, class of 2000. Actually, that's not true, because isn't Munchak in?
Yeah.
What list is this?
Is this your Timu list?
No, this is – oh, I guess this is just saying Titans. This isn't saying Oilers.
All right, give me the five Titans.
Bruce Matthews – Steve Hutchinson played 1 year here.
Right.
Andre Johnson, Kevin Mawai. I'll give you that one a little bit.
He spent 4 years here.
4 years.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Oh, come on, man. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so does this not list the – all right, now I'm curious.
It should list everybody, because the franchise never stopped making – it's always been that franchise. It didn't stop for when they moved here. They carried the Oilers' name with them.
Yeah.
Get John McClain back on the phone. Tell him that Chase McCabe wants to talk to him. That's McCabe, McCabe.
Well, because the Houston Oilers are not listed. Just the Tennessee Titans are listed.
What list is this? Is your Timu Pro Football
Hall of Fame? No, this is the website for the – this is ProFootballHOF.com. This is their official website.
It should be Pro Football WTF. With all these guys on there. Why is Munchak not on there?
I know. I was like, wait a minute. This isn't right.
And there's only like six or seven guards in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Munchak is one of those.
There are 200 deceased members of the Hall of Fame.
Go through all of those. Who's the guy in the middle there? Is that Steve Largent?
Right here?
Yeah.
That's Aikman.
Oh, okay. I can't see. Well,
Herb Adderley.
Oh,
Troy
so it's
Aikman,
alphabetical.
Marcus Allen, Larry Allen, George Allen, Jared Allen, Eric Allen, Lance Allworth, Morton Anderson.
Keep going. Plus, I think we've hit a spot now where Hall of Famers are dwindling.
Yeah.
Right? You shouldn't get six or seven like Jared Allen. I don't think Jared Allen's a Hall of Famer.
Steve Atwater.
Hell yeah. He'd knock your block off.
Eric Allen.
It took a while for him to get in, so yes.
Champ Bailey.
Oh, yeah. You talk about – remember what Tim Hasselbeck said about Champ Bailey? Just amazing player, yeah.
He's got a five head, too. Jeez.
Good Lord, he does. Man, I was on my head. I look in the mirror, man. That's Peyton Manning. Out for you. That guy's got a five head.
Rondé Barber.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Sammy Baugh.
Of course.
Bobby Bethard. I forgot he was a Hall of Famer.
As administrator.
Yep. Raymond Berry.
Hell yes.
Elvin.
By the way, Raymond Berry, I think, lives in Murfreesboro.
Does he?
Yep.
Elvin Bethea. Is it Bethea or Bethea?
Bethea.
Bethea.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, he's an Oiler, right?
He is. Okay. Elvin Bethea, yeah. So, I mean, that's I could go all day on who should be and who's not in. You know who's not in the Hall of Fame? Me. Yeah. So
George Blanda, in this picture, looks 75, and he was probably 40.
If that.
My God.
For these guys. But I'm telling you, the Hall of Fame list is dwindling down. I mean, there's
– Tony Boselli.
He only played like 7 years. No. I don't think he was a Hall of Famer.
Robert Brazil, he's an Oiler.
He was.
Derek Brooks.
Yes.
I would agree. I would have fought you on that.
Really good player.
Tim Brown, yes. Roosevelt Brown. Jim Brown. Bob Brown. Paul Brown. Isaac Bruce.
No.
Nope. Okay. Junius Buchanan.
Of course.
Okay.
JB.
Leroy Butler.
He was really good at Florida State. He was a good player in the league. No.
Earl Campbell, yes. There's another Oiler.
I think Gale Sayers is the one that has the least amount of playing time that's in the Hall. I think he played 6 years. And Dwight Stevenson, the center for Miami, who played at Alabama, played maybe seven or eight. Boselli's right there, too, as well. Those are the shortest tenures of guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
What about this guy, Chris Carter?
It's tough, man. Took a long time for him to get in, but yeah, I think so. I mean, he was a really good receiver. He's really good.
I know you have a problem with this guy.
I can't see.
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher should not be in the Hall of Fame.
What about Don Coryell?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, some guys have waited 20, 30 years to get in. Don Coryell, I mean, the passing game we see today is basically from him from the late 60s and 70s.
If Al Davis is in the Hall of Fame, I mean, granted, I know he won Super Bowls as an owner, but shouldn't Bud be?
What does it tell you that Bud's not in? He wasn't well-liked.
Well, I don't think Al Davis was well-liked either.
But they respected him. Mm. He moved the game forward. What did Bud Adams do?
I mean, he helped found the AFL. Modern football probably doesn't exist.
I'm with you, but he had guys with him. But what does it tell you that he's not in?
Look,
all these other guys are in.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, I still think you can't tell the story of the NFL without Bud Adams.
Right.
Hey, look, it's Luke Combs.
It is. Hey, look, man, we all know.
Dylan, what's up?
Hey, guys. I heard something on the radio yesterday. I cannot get over on the talkback show, so I'm sorry, but I gotta tell somebody about this.
Sure.
Guy calls in. Yeah, so this guy, Jim, says he's been a Titans fan since 96, so take that for what you will. Says he's never called into the show, but he has to call in because Reggie McKenzie and Chad Brinker need to work behind the scenes in the front office. He's so sick of hearing the front office get bashed that we need to just let them work, shouldn't question anything. And it was like this guy was reading a script somebody had sent over, I swear. And no one was bashing Chad Brinker. This guy calls him out of nowhere. And this is the crap the Titans worry about. This is the junk, their image. They got guys calling in, calling out Reggie McKenzie, Chad Brinker by name, bashing John Robinson's draft, saying that they're doing everything from 3 years. mismanagement and that we don't know how to run a franchise to let them work behind closed doors, it blew my mind. It was the most obvious plant caller reading a script. And wouldn't you expect the Titans to do something like that? I mean, that just sounds exactly like something. This is the stuff they worry about, but I couldn't believe it. It was so obvious. It was them behind the curtain having this guy call in, but I just had to tell somebody, and I felt like you guys would be the best ones to tell. So,
well, I appreciate the call. Okay. I'm surprised they did that because they kicked a guy off the plane for talking too much, and now they want stuff out there. So that's interesting. So I don't know. I didn't listen. So those guys do a good job, but I didn't listen. So
A plant. You go over and call right now.
I don't know what to say. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Clay, call back tomorrow. Sorry, man. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Reminder, tomorrow's schedule is going to be a little bit different with the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. DVD going to go noon to 3 tomorrow. And then Joe and I will come on at 3 o'clock for the pregame show, 3 to 4:30, and then kick off around 4:30 between Tennessee and Illinois. It'll be fun. And then we'll have a postgame show whenever that game is done, live from Nissan Stadium. So looking forward to that.
Who's the most famous, legendary Illinois football player that comes to mind?
You're going to laugh. Like, honestly, the first person I think of is Brad Hopkins.
Okay.
But
pretty good. No. Dick Butkus.
Butkus, yeah. That's a good one. Who else? Have they ever had any big quarterbacks?
Jeff George.
That's one.
Kevin Hardy, Simeon Rice.
Yeah, those are good. All right, we got to move fast. Let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right. It's a short list, so I'll get to it quickly here. National Get on the Scales Day is today. National Pepper Pot Day. Not sure what that is. Still Need to Do Day is what is today as well. And TikTok Day. So Joe's Day, I guess.
TikTok Day?
Yeah.
I have the best TikTok account according to the national scene. Which is something else. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Dr. Crane, you go first because you're going to see the national anthem at a Sounds game in the spring. Dr. Crane, how old is Sean Payton? Today's his birthday.
67.
Sean Payton is 63.
62. Chase on the board, 1-0. Chase, your next former Dolphin quarterback, Jay Fiedler.
50.
52.
54, tied at one. Dr. Crane, how old is actor John Voight? His daughter was married. What's her name? Married to Angelina Jolie. There you go.
Was he in Seinfeld at one point?
Probably. I don't know.
I think he guest starred.
I'm going to go with 63.
74.
87. Chase.
Jeez.
Ted Danson.
Sam Malone. 74.
73.
78. Dr. Crane, how old is Jude Law? Isn't he one of those Star Wars weird nerd characters?
I have no
Obi-Wan clue. Or one of those?
I'm going to go with 55.
Jude Law, 57.
53, still tied at one. Chase, how does the actor?
Didn't he say 55?
I did say 55.
Okay, up 2-1. Thank you. I don't listen well. Mikey Pfeiffer?
I don't know who that is.
He was in ER, Mickey Pfeiffer. There's his picture right there. You can see him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So is it my turn?
Yeah.
52.
60.
51. We're tied at 2. Dr. Crane, how old is actor Diego Luna?
48.
44.
46. That's a push.
That is a push.
Chase, get to go now. Actress Allison Brie. I've been in a bunch of stuff. I can't recognize. I don't know what she's been in, man. I'm fading off. Allison Brie.
43.
39.
43 dead
on. Allison Brie is 42. 43.
All right, Dr. Crane. Comedian Paula Poundstone.
50.
62.
66. Actor Michael Kudlitz was in The Walking Dead. He was also Brenda Walsh's prom date on 90210. Chase, this is you. Michael Kudlitz.
56.
58.
61. Dr. Crane, news anchor Ashley Banfield. I worked with her a long time ago. Very sweet lady.
67.
68. How look on down here? Okay, Chase, you're up. Country singer Jessica Andrews.
38.
39.
42. Dr. Crane, drummer Danny Wagner of Greta Van Fleet. Don't they still live in Nashville?
Yeah, I believe Bellevue.
Bellevue. Drummer Dan. Now you're down 4-2. This is it.
29.
27. He's 27 exactly. Not only did does Chase win, but he rubs it in your face at the end.
Puts it in the mud.
6-2. Well,
I was
done.
Matumbo. No.
All right. You tried, Dr. Crane. We like it.
Again, we're going to be on at 3 tomorrow. DVD will be on at noon. A little bit of a different schedule because of the Music City Bowl.
We head into 2026. Same message to our guys out there. If you are struggling, we tell you all the time, please talk to somebody. You have so much worth in this life. We tell you all the time how the world's a better place because you are here. Two words we're carrying into 2026. I'm going to hammer them every day, and they are don't quit. Don't – whatever you do. Don't quit. Life, workout, job, whatever. Don't quit. We need you here and understand how powerful and beautiful you are. Though that we love you, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
That is going to do it for us. DVD coming your way next, and I'll have pregame for you of Preds and Mammoth at 7 o'clock tonight right here on 102.5 The Game.